August 13th, 2024. Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well today. I'm Pastor George Goins of Macedonia Baptist Church, and you're listening to Back to the Basic Bible Study. And I'm excited about the Word, excited about teaching the Word today and preaching the Word today. So I hope everybody's doing well. We seem to be doing okay. Last week I was in Tennessee for a couple of visits, and I was it was a lot of miles, but we made it through okay. I appreciate all the prayers last week too. God was working. Again, I just covet your prayers. One day I'll tell you more about what's going on or what has gone on. But you just keep on praying. You keep on praying for Brother George and his family and through this this battle that they're going through. God's good, and God has always been good. He knows what he's doing. I don't doubt that at all. Sometimes I get impatient, but he is always good at the right time. He knows, he's all about timing. He knows what to do, when to do it. At what time. So I mean, he's just awesome at what he does. So y'all just continue to pray for us as we go through that little battle. But man, it's just good to be back on the internet and the radio soon, from what I understand, and I hope so. That's good. I hope y'all had a good service on Sunday, those that go to church. We did. We had a good service. We had a good attendance. I had some visitors that showed up. We appreciate them very much. Oh, before I forget, I just want to wish my daughter, Gabby, I want to wish her a happy 23rd birthday today. Today is her birthday, and I'm so excited. She's my baby girl, and we're just so proud of her and her family. She's married to Caleb Smith, and they have a little boy, and his name's Elijah, and he's got the prettiest blue eyes. He's a good boy. We're very proud to have him. So happy birthday, Gabby Smith. And just want you to know that Dad, your mom and Dad love you very much. All right. So, hey, but like I said, at church, hopefully you went to church Sunday and things went well. But maybe you're listening today and you don't go to church. Or maybe you're looking for a church. We've had some visitors and they're looking for a church. And you know, Macedonia may or may not be that place, but we'd love for you to come and try and check it out and see. You'll find that it's a very friendly church. They love Jesus, and they love people. And we're traditional. I will say that. We're still traditional. We still sing out of the hymn books. As you can tell, I sing hymn songs, and we do that. But we're very traditional. We do have a youth program as well, Caleb and Gabby. They take care of our youth. We also have a children's ministry. My wife is very instrumental in that as well. So we're grateful to have those ministries going as well. So we have a women's ministry. We have a men's ministry. And so a lot of things going on at our church at Macedonia. We'd love for you to come. Sunday morning, 10:45 is the worship service. 6 o'clock on Sunday night. And then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So we'd love for you to come and just check it out. See what you think. I want to do a song. Man, listen, Jesus lives, doesn't he? I'm telling you, he's everywhere. I don't care where you go. You know, I was over 600 miles away last week from my home, and Jesus was there too. And it's amazing. He's everywhere. I've been, you know, out of the country, and he's been in other countries as well. He's there. Jesus lives. He's not dead. On the third day, he even told his disciples on the third day he would rise again. And he did. He's alive. Our God is not dead. Our God is sitting at the right hand of the throne. And one day is going to be the judge of the world, the judge. And we're going to worship him as Lord. And those that are saved will worship him. But every knee's going to bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Let me sing this song, He Lives, okay?
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. Though he grow weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. I hope he lives in your heart too. He lives in mine for sure. I'm thankful to have him in my life. I couldn't make it without him. I don't know how people do today make it without him. He's an amazing God. He truly is. He's someone you can depend on. He will be there for you faithfully. And he knows what's best for us. And so we're thankful. I'm thankful that he rose from the dead. He's not like these other so-called gods that are still in the grave. Their bones are in the grave. Our Jesus, they can't find his bones. And it's amazing because they keep trying to find his bones, but they can't find his bones. Why? Because he's not there. Because he's alive. He is. I'm going to look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Today I'm going to talk about something here. And I'm not going to get political. I'm a firm believer that politics does not need to be in the church. The church needs to be in politics. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. Politics doesn't need to be in the church. The church needs to be in the politics. And the church is made up of people. And so, yes, we need to be involved. And if you're a born-again believer, you have a Christian duty to vote. And you need to vote. And you need to talk to Jesus on who to vote for. And let him lead you. Maybe there's nobody there to vote for, but the Lord knows. And you just need to ask him. When I go, before I push those buttons on that voting machine, I've been praying about it. I've been praying, Lord, help me. And I just allow the Holy Spirit to lead me in who I need to vote for. And listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you this. It's not a man or a woman. It's not a party. It's not our government today that America needs. America needs Jesus. He's the only one that's going to be able to change this country. I'm telling you, it's not all of these other things. But we have a Christian duty to vote, and we need to vote. Can God use a person? Yes, God can use a person. God can use a person to change the world. Yes, look at Moses. Look at Abraham. Look at David, King David. Look at Paul and Peter and those other disciples. That God used these prophets that he used to help change a nation. And yes, he can do that. But listen, it's not in their ability. It's in the God's ability that can change our nation. So I'm not trying to preach politics. I'm not going to preach you a political sermon. I don't believe in that. I'm going to preach the Bible. That's what I've been called to do. So that's what we're going to do today. This message is not to discourage you, but it should encourage you. Also, we shouldn't be surprised with the things that are going on in our world today, but it ought to challenge us to do the right thing. And as I said, what does America need the most? They need Jesus right now. And we're going to look at that. Look at Proverbs 14:34. It's just one verse. Normally, I am a expository preacher. I take verses and then I build a sermon out of those verses and I stick with those scriptures. I'm just going to use one verse today, and it's more of a topical, I guess you could call it a topical message today, because America has fallen on its face. And as I said, I don't want to discourage you, but I want to encourage you this morning. Let's look at this passage, this verse. It simply says, really small, really easy verse here. It's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. It says this, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let me read it again. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And of course, the word reproach simply means shame or disgrace. Now, what is it that our nation is the greatest assets that we have as a nation? Well, I can tell you that it's what it's not. I don't know how many people have seen the Grand Canyon or maybe the Great Teton of Yellowstone, maybe out in California, the great redwood trees, maybe the Niagara Falls, in Kentucky, the mountains of Kentucky, and I don't know, the beaches of Florida, or maybe the mountain. I don't know what all you've seen, but let me just tell you this, that I've seen the Grand Canyon. It's a beautiful place, and in fact, the first time I saw it, I wept because it was so overwhelming to me, that how powerful our God is, and that if somebody can't see that and know that there's a God, then my goodness, they have they're just blind to the truth. I don't know. I don't get it. But it's not those great things that we have in America that is our greatest assets. It's not our oil reserves or gas reserves, which we do. We have plenty of it. We can sustain our country. It's not the military. We have a good military, but it's amazing. I'm sure they've got some technology that would just blow our minds, and how they can protect our nation and be a threat to other nations. It's not our military. It's not our economic success. And I know we're kind of going through some hard times right now, and we are. But this nation has economically succeeded very well, even from all the way back from the Great Depression to this point. I mean, we've come a long ways economically. And people can do well in this country. They can come and build businesses in this country, and they can be, and our economy is good. I mean, other than, you know, prices of things are high right now. Hopefully that will change. But those things are not what makes a great asset in America today. I'll tell you what it is. It's the Word of God. We still have the Word of God. We still have God's Word in our country today. And it's free. It's accessible. Matter of fact, we're spoilt in America because at least everybody has one Bible, if not many, you know, Bibles. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what that tells me is that this Bible that I have in front of me from cover to cover was all given by the breath of God. He breathed it. He gave us the Word. Now, I believe the Bible to be true from cover to cover. I don't think there's any error at all in it. People say, well, men wrote it. They were inspired by God to write these words. And what we have is what God wants us to have. And I believe in that. But it's profitable. Now, not only is it inspired by God, but it's profitable, which means it's good for us. It has some things here that are beneficial for us. It's a resource that we can depend upon. First of all, for doctrine of what we can preach and teach, what people believe. Also for reproof, which simply means pointing out error, maybe in somebody's life by using the Word of God. The road you're going down is not what God would expect of you, and you can show them in the Scripture. But it's also for correction. In other words, how we can correct that error that we have in our lives. And for instruction, which tells us we can preach how to live the life that God wants us to live in righteousness. But not only is it God-breathed and profitable, but it also has a purpose. And we can see that in the next verse, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So two things here. One is to be perfect, in other words, to be complete or mature, is what it's referring to. But also it says here, to be thoroughly furnished. In other words, to have the resources that we need to be able to do good works for the Lord, to be able to do the right thing in life. So that's really the purpose and even the results of the Word of God. If we'll use the Word of God. Problem is that we've taken the Word of God out of our lives. We've taken it out of our schools so our kids don't get it unless they go to church or the parents, make sure that they get it. We've taken it out of our government, so they're not getting it either. We're taking it out of all of our social, lives, we've taken the Bible out where it needs to be in. I mean, this country was built on the principles of the Word of God, and we've taken all of that out. But not only that, but the Word of God also reveals things. One, it reveals the person of God, who God is. He's infinite, which means he's self-existing. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. He never began anywhere, and he will never end. He was never born. He won't die. He's eternal. He's immutable, which simply means that he never changes. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? That the same principles that were written when these scriptures were written well over 2,000 years, all the way back 4,000 years, 6,000 years, when it all began, the same principles that God laid down then to that culture, those same principles apply today. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday. He'll be the same today. He's self-sufficient, which means he has no needs. He doesn't get hungry. He doesn't need water. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He's omnipotent, which actually means he's all-powerful. There's no one that's even comes close to him, even with him or over him. Everything is under him. He's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He knows everything about us. He knows what's in our mind. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in our soul. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's there where you are right now. He's with me. He's over in China. He's over in Australia. He's over in another country. He's all over the world all at one time. Only God can do that. Even Lucifer can't do that. The devil can't do that because he's an angel. He's not God. He's wise. He's faithful. He's true. He's dependable, for sure. He's good, man. The kindness of God. He's just. He's merciful. Aren't you glad he's compassionate to us? He's gracious. He has given us his gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. He's loving, even when we're not loving. He's loving. He's holy. He's perfection. And he's glorious. So the Word of God reveals to us the person of God. It also reveals the power of God. We talked about that, but also the plan of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. But you know, God
had a plan from the very beginning. He knew man was going to do wrong, and he knew he was going to have to present a sacrifice that would be acceptable to him, a perfect sacrifice, and that was, of course, Jesus Christ. He knew that. That was his plan. He knew that. But what is his plan? And I never thought of it until the other day I was thinking about this. His plan is to bring everything back in line, which is what his whole purpose is from the beginning. All of this mess that's going on in our world today, he's going to bring all of this back into line to where we will be worshiping him, fellowshipping with him, those that believe. Let me put it that way. That's his plan. His purpose, of course, is eternal life. You know, he can give us eternal life, which he wants to. And then his promise is to fulfill his word. And that's what he will do. He will fulfill his word. He will make sure it happens. And then not only does the word of God reveals, but it also respects his will. It honors his will. It glorifies his will. It reveals his will. But also his way and his worship. It reveals, it respects, and it rebukes. Rebukes simply means disapproval of bad behavior. Sin, the sinner, and Satan. And one day he'll put Satan in his place. He really will. But it records the most beautiful story of a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. The Christ of the Son of the Living God. The Christ meaning that he is the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. There are religions today that don't believe that. Oh, one day they're going to have to bow before him. And they're going to have to confess with their mouth that he is Lord. He is the Savior. Jesus is the only hope we have. He's the only way. The Bible says, or actually Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Salvation, the gospel message, which is the free gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then our service. We are to serve him, the Savior, with our heart and our soul and our body. So what is the nation's greatest asset? It's the Word of God. What is our nation's greatest liability? Well, the Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's sin, it's wickedness, it's rebellion against God. That's our greatest liability. That's what's going on in our world today. Our world today is legalizing sin. It's going against the Word of God. It's saying that what is wrong is right, and what is right is wrong. And we knew that was coming. But there's a payment of sin. The wages of sin is death. What is that? That's a spiritual death. The Bible says it is appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to have to face God one day when they're dead. Revelation 19:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. It's eternal separation from God. What about the power of sin in the flesh of humanity? We can see that today. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death, destruction. We're drawn away. First of all, we're tempted. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. Those are tests of faith. test of faithfulness, being faithful to God and to be true to God. But what happens is we're drawn away by our lust, our sinful nature. We're being drawn to that. And then the word enticed is used here, which means to draw to or entrap. That's the lust of the flesh. And then if we're not careful, we'll succumb to disobedience, which is sin. And God hates sin. Sin's going to destroy, as I said, John 10:10. It's going to steal your joy. It's going to kill your effectiveness. And it's going to destroy your testimony. What is the cost of sin? It hinders our service. It defiles our heart. It destroys our lives. It devours our homes. It divides our nation. It darkens our churches. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. So what is our nation's greatest liability? It's calling bad good. It's sin. It's sin. What is our nation's greatest privilege? It's the promise of His presence. Jesus said these words, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." To have the presence of God in us as believers. And listen, folks, if you're not saved today, you don't have the presence of God living inside of you. Once you become a born-again believer, Jesus comes to live inside of you, and He will never forsake you. We have the promise of His presence, but we also have the promise of His peace. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus said. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you that true peace that you desire. And then thirdly, the promise of His purpose. What's His purpose? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." What was God's purpose from the very beginning when mankind sinned in the garden? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have assets, an asset, the Word of God. But our greatest liability is sin. But the greatest privileges is God's promises of His presence and His peace and His purpose in our lives. Hey, the only hope for our nation today is Jesus. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank You that You've given us Your Word. You've given us the Word of God that gives us the answers. It is our resource. It's something that we can have, we can use to help us in our daily lives. And we thank You that You gave it to us and that we still have it in America. And Lord, I don't know how long we'll have it, but I pray we'll hide it in our hearts. But help us. I pray for these people today that's listened to the message, that You'll take Your Word and You'll pierce our hearts. You'll show us, Lord, what we need in our lives. Help us. And God, I pray You'll bless us and keep us safe as You always do. And You're so gracious and kind, and merciful, and patient. Thank You for that. Please bless this day and Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord bless you, folks. I appreciate you very much listening in. And Lord willing, if nothing happens, the Lord doesn't come back, I'm going to see you again next week. God bless.